Well, we are continuing with a message series called Soul Search, and it's really a message series from the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, which is where Solomon lets us in on his pursuit of the meaning of life, the purpose of life. The title of today's message is It's All About Time, and the particular passage of Scripture we're in today is probably the best known section of Scripture from Ecclesiastes. Back in 1959, Pete Seeger, not Bob Seeger, Pete Seeger, wrote a most unusual song called Turn, Turn, Turn. The lyrics of that song, with only a handful of additions, are taken verbatim from the King James Version of the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, the first 8 verses. It was recorded a couple of times without much fanfare, but in 1965, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers The Byrds recorded Turn, 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 and it went to number one. You'll still hear this song often on classic rock radio, which is, of course, the best kind of radio station to listen to. And it's a recorded song. It's a hit song with the oldest lyrics on record. In case you're having trouble remembering the song, here's a clip. See, you were singing along and quoting Scripture, and you didn't even realize it, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it's all about time. I've got 4 points today, and here's the very first one. All time belongs to God. All time belongs to God. Verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 3 says it like this. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time for everything and a season for every activity. Some people read that and they think, well, Solomon here is talking about time management, but in reality, he's saying time really cannot be managed. All time is in God's hands, and you can know that whatever season of life you may be in and whatever season of life you may experience, that God can be with you there. Now, sometimes the frustrating thing is that most seasons of life are uncontrollable. But you can know that time is God's business. In the New Testament, Jesus said this. It's recorded in Acts chapter 1, verse 7. He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." In other words, time's in God's hands. Timing is the Father's business. Here's the second thing that I would write down this morning, and it is that time can be measured by seasons. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, says that, and here's something that you know intuitively, that when you look at time, you can measure it not just chronologically. You can look at a life and measure it not just in terms of a linear movement, but a life has seasons to it. Seasons of winning and losing, succeeding and failing. Seasons where you're on a mountaintop, seasons when you're in a valley. And life can be measured in terms of seasons. Sometimes Martha and I meet someone, we'll say, well, what's going on in your world? Well, our youngest just graduated from college. Well, that tells us we know what season they're in. Our last child just got married. Well, we know what season they're in. Our first grandchild was just, we know what season they're in. I'm about to get married. We know what season they're in. Life's not just viewed chronologically, but in terms of seasons. And let me tell you some things about those seasons. Those seasons are, first of all, varied. Varied. And we're about to read Solomon describe, listen to this now, 28 separate seasons of life. And he's about to give us a list. And listen, this list is not exhaustive. He's not describing every possible experience in life. He's simply saying that life is varied. And there are seasons where you're up and seasons where you're down. There are seasons where things are starting and seasons where things are coming to an end. One person said it like this: one day you're the windshield, another day you're the bug. One day you watch your life come together, one day you watch your life fall apart. One day you can't stop smiling, another day you can't stop crying. One day is a day to speak up, another day is a day to be silent. Here's the way Solomon says it. There's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing where it's just not appropriate. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. You know that. Sometimes the best course of action is just to sit on your tongue and say nothing. And sometimes the best course of action, because you love someone and you care about them and you have their ear, because you care, the wisest course of action is to say, I love you and I care and I'm watching you on a trajectory that I don't think is going to end well. And the wise course of action is not to be silent, but to speak up. There's a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Life's full of contrasts and contradictions, full of good and bad, laughing and mourning, losing and finding. And most of this we cannot control. And this simply helps me to remember that I should have realistic expectations in life. Not every season is a season of dancing. Not every season is a season of rejoicing. But in all of those seasons, that's a description of life for us all. And God's in it all. So the seasons of life, they're varied. Secondly, they are perplexing. Verse 11, Solomon says, he's made everything beautiful in its time. He's also set eternity in the human heart. Let that sink in for a moment. In your psyche, he's placed the awareness that there is a coming eternal season. He has placed eternity in your heart, and yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. No one can fathom it. Sometimes these seasons of life are confusing, and you're there and they're perplexing, and you say, I don't understand what God's doing here. I want to say this in a very sensitive way. God doesn't owe you an explanation. He doesn't owe me an explanation. We live by faith, not explanations. If I could comprehend everything God initiates, everything allows, everything God filters, I would have the mind of God, and I don't. And neither do you. There are many situations in life that while you're in it, you have no clue what's going on. You're just there. But sometimes, when it's all said and done, you can look back and you may can discern some things. But not always. But we walk as Christians not by explanations, we walk by faith. And these seasons of life, they're varied. Sometimes they are perplexing, but listen, they are always purposeful. There's a reason in that season. And God has a purpose for every season of your life. The lonely seasons, the sad seasons, nothing is wasted. Verse 14 of Ecclesiastes 3, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. And God does it so that people will fear him. These ups and downs of life, the ups of life are designed to draw us to God in gratitude. The downs of life are designed to cause us to run to God for help and support. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. A well-known passage of Scripture says, and we know that in all things God works for the good. Notice, he doesn't say all things are good. But in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, those who have been called according to his purpose. That's not a universal promise, but it's a promise for the people of God. Don't misunderstand me. God's not the author of evil. He's not the author of distasteful things. But no matter what happens, even sometimes when you get bumped and bruised by someone else's bad choices, God can be at work in that and bring good out of that situation. So these seasons of life, they are varied. Sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug. They are varied. They can be perplexing, but they do have a purpose. Now, that leads to point three, which is seasons of life questions. What are some questions to ask yourself in these various seasons of life? And here's the first one. What is God teaching me now? He's not wasting that season. What's God teaching me here? This is not just an experience. It's an education. You may not always discern a lesson. You can know this. In every situation, God's overarching and overreaching lesson he always wants us to grasp and get is this. How can I lean on the Lord? How can I trust him? Because experientially, you never really know God's all you need until he's all you have. Because everybody in this room, you're going to face a day, a season, when everything's cut out beneath you. And you find yourself in a situation you can't buy yourself out of it. You can't talk yourself out of it. You can't manipulate your way out of it. You can't friendship your way out of it. And you're going to find in that day that the Lord really is a very real and present help in the day of struggle and trouble. God, what might you be teaching me in this season of life? It's a question to ask. It's a very personal question. Here's another question. Am I needlessly stuck in a particular season of life? You know, sometimes we've all seen a tragedy unfold in someone's life, maybe in our own life, but someone we know, and something has happened in their life. Maybe it was a betrayal, maybe it was a loss, maybe it was a change, maybe it was a situation. It just, something went down and it didn't go down the way they wanted it to. And it might be a very, very legitimate beef, but sometimes they get a burr in their saddle, and maybe the burr in the saddle is bigger than the legitimate issue, but it's there, and they get needlessly stuck for a period of time. And it doesn't take 20 seconds. You could be sitting around a campfire looking at a beautiful moonlit night, but you could just raise the topic and it wouldn't take 20 seconds for that person to go there and go into a 30-minute diatribe. And you love this person, you care about it, but you feel like they're needlessly stuck in a season and they're not, here's the phrase, they're just not moving on. And you love them, and you want to say, look, I realize that was a legitimate hurt back there, and you felt it, but a lot of water's gone under the bridge. Jet engines have been developed since that happened. Cable TVs come along. A little thing called the internet is now here. And I love you, but is it time to open up the possibility to a new season without this bitterness that's so ready to explode? Some of you may be stuck in a season where you self-medicate. If you started out, it was just going to be a glass of wine with dinner. And it's a lot more than that now. And you're stuck. Is it time to reach for some outside energy and outside help to get you unstuck and back on the kind of trajectory that you want? Some questions to ask. God, what might you be teaching me in the season of life? Am I needlessly stuck in a particular season? And thirdly, how can I help others in this season of life? Because God's put us here not just to be selfish little myopic quads, but to use our time and energy and resources and abilities and experiences to help other people. And that leads to point number four, that it's always a good time to do these. And here's the first one. It's always a good time to do good. Listen to the way Solomon says it in verse 12. I know that there is nothing better for people than to what? Than to be happy and to do good while they live. Often I'll talk to somebody and they'll say, you know what, one of these days I'm going to really get into using my spiritual gifts. I'm going to really tap into God's blessed me with so many resources. I plan to become a giver. I plan to be generous. I plan to get engaged and involved in ministry. And I plan to do that as soon as things settle down. I got some news for you. They're never going to settle down. You live in a busy place in a busy time. And there will always be something that will crop up to say, this is not a good year. This is not a good season. This is not a good time. But listen, there is no better day than today than to start taking a look at my resources, my abilities, your abilities, the way God's blessed you, and to say, how might I do good here? A lot of you have read Stephen Covey's book on the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Do you remember that classic story he tells in the book about the time management seminar and the seminar leader standing up there and had a big, wide-open, see-through jar? And he said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take some of these large stones, these large rocks, and put in here. And he takes one, two, and then several, and puts these large, big rocks in this see-through jar. And then he asks everybody in the room, gang, is the jar full? And they say, oh, yeah, it's full, it's full. Then he goes to another container. He's got smaller rocks, smaller pebbles. And he puts some of the smaller pebbles in. Is it full now? Oh, yeah, it's full now. Then he goes over to another container full of sand, and he takes sand and he pours in and all the little cracks and crevices there. And then he says, gang, is it full now? Oh, yeah, it's full. You've mashed it. It's full now. And he says, no, no, no. He goes over, takes some water, comes in, pours water in here. He says, now is it full? And by this time, they're intimidated. They don't want to say, well, yeah, it looks full. He said, what's the lesson I'm trying to teach you? And someone raised their hand and said, no matter how full your life is, you can always cram one more thing into your schedule. And he said, that's not the point at all. What I'm trying to tell you is it's important in your life to always put in the big rocks first. Jesus would say it like this. Whatever you do, don't forget to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's always a good time to do good. And secondly, it's always a good time to enjoy God's kindnesses. Verse 13, here's a good thing, Solomon says, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. A few years ago, A professor wrote an article about a speaking experience he had. And this was some time ago. He was speaking at a military base, and as he flew into the nearest airport, a young soldier by the name of Ralph was assigned to meet him and handle his luggage. And so Ralph meets him at the gate, and they start walking out to the car. But along the way, Ralph kept stopping and disappearing. He would stop, and there was a lady over here who needed some help, an elderly lady, and so he walked over and helped her, and then he came back, and then they're walking along, and there was a family, and they look confused. He goes over and helps the family. They go on down. There's another scenario, and Ralph stops, goes over, and helps that situation as well. And finally, the professor just asked him, and said, "Ralph, how long have you lived this way?" He said, "What way?" "This way of constantly starting and stopping and helping someone along the way." He said, "Ever since my experience in Vietnam." He said, "I was in Vietnam. I was assigned to be a mine sweeper. And I never knew in my work, when I put my foot down, if it would be the last thing I ever did. And I just decided then and there, I was going to enjoy every moment and taste every moment between every step." And Solomon would say to you, it's always a good time to enjoy the kindness of God. Here's your assignment. Never let what you cannot control corrupt what you can enjoy today. Never let what you cannot control corrupt and demean and color what you can enjoy today. And this is not Solomon saying to eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow you die. What he's saying is that, yes, life is full of seasons. And yes, sometimes you are the bug. And sometimes it's a season of mourning. And yes, it might very well be that, you know, I may go to the doctor this week and get a report that I don't like, or I might be driving this week and somebody crosses the center line. But today, if you can enjoy that meal, if you can enjoy that conversation, if you can have a nice slice of watermelon on the 4th of July, in spite of everything that's out there you can't control, and in spite of the reality that life is full of seasons and not all of them are the most enjoyable, but when you can taste and look for and find the kindness of God in this season, that's always a good thing to do. It's always a good time to do good, to enjoy God's kindness, and to honor Jesus Christ. Back to verse 14 from Ecclesiastes 3. "I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. And God does this so that people will fear Him. Let every season draw you to God." 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, "I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." Let me state it as clearly as I know how. There's not a better day to come to faith in Jesus Christ than today. There's not a better day to run to Christian baptism than today. There's not a better day to decide, you know what, it's time to come right back to the main road and the main path instead of chasing a sidebar. Not a better day than today. You could summarize what Solomon's been saying by these words from Jesus himself, from John 16. "In this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have some distasteful seasons. But you be of good heart. I've overcome the world. And in this world, you're going to have some blessed seasons too."